Okay, if you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, please join me in the New Testament book of Mark. The New Testament book of Mark, we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 1, the entire chapter. Today we're starting a new series in this wonderful book that will take us all the way through the summer and also into the beginning of the fall as we march verse by verse, chapter by chapter through this incredible account of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The book of Mark was written primarily for a Gentile or non-Jewish audience and focuses on the service and sacrifice of Jesus Christ more than anything else. A key verse in Mark could be said to be Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This morning, we're going to jump right into it. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Mark chapter 1 reveals the Messiah is here, Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 1 reveals the Messiah is here, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 1. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If you were with us on the last day that we studied the book of Nehemiah, what we find as one of the last stories in the Old Testament, one of the last stories in Old Testament history, is the people of God not able to keep the law of God. It revealed the people of God failing all of the covenants that they had made with God. The Old Testament ends with the failure of God's people, pointing to the need of a Savior. Well, the Savior is here. The Messiah is here. It had been 400 years since the people of God had heard the voice of God. And the next act that we see from God after the many failures of his people was the sending of his Son, Jesus Christ. Again, verse 1, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he is here. The Old Testament ends with the people of God failing. The New Testament begins by God sending his Son. Jesus Christ has arrived on the scene to save people from their sin. The word gospel that Mark uses here, it means glad tidings or good news. You see, Jesus has come. He has come to save people from their sin, and this is good news. As the Messiah had come for the people of God so long ago, listen, the Messiah is here for you and I today. Like the children of Israel, it may have been a long time. It may have been a long time since you have heard the voice of God. But wherever you are at in your life today, whatever need you have, whatever pain you have, whatever disappointment you have, whatever hurt you have, whatever struggle you have with sin in your life today, listen, the Messiah is here for you today. The Messiah is here. Mark chapter 1 reveals the Messiah is here, Jesus Christ. Next, Mark chapter 1 reveals the promised messenger of God, John the Baptist. The promised messenger of God, John the Baptist. Look at verses 2 through 8. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way? The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Verse 4, John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Verse 6, now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. Let's just stop right there. We all have that one cousin, right? Did you know this is the cousin of Jesus? Baptizing people, it says, with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. Next week, I'm going to show up with a buffalo skin on. Just kidding. Verse 7. after he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie." You see, John the Baptist was the cousin of Jesus and was the prophesied messenger from God sent to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, he called out sin, and this would eventually land him in prison with his head being chopped off. You see, John knew the job that God had called him to do, and he did it relentlessly. It was John the Baptist that said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Luke chapter 3 says of John the Baptist, "So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people." And he absolutely understood who he was paving the way for. Again, verse 7, he says of his cousin Jesus, "In absolute humility, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie." You see, he was a messenger of God sent to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. And like John was a messenger for God, you and I are messengers for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ could return at any moment. Every prophecy about Christ has been fulfilled. And the next prophecy that we are waiting for is the return of Christ. The last words of the Bible, Jesus says, "I'm coming back. I'm coming back." And like John was a messenger, you and I are messengers for Jesus Christ. Prepare the way. Jesus Christ is coming back for his children. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we are ambassadors for Christ. This means a representative. You and I are ambassadors for Christ, representatives for Christ. We are messengers for Christ. And this should change our approach to everything. This should change how we live. You are an ambassador, a messenger for Christ in your job, on your kids' sports teams, in your schools, teenagers, students in this place, on your social clubs, on the fire department, in the grocery store, in your homes. You are messengers for Christ. You are ambassadors for Christ everywhere you go and in everything that you do. Verse 8, John says, "I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." You see, when John was baptizing people, it was a baptism of repentance and faith in the coming Messiah. And when you and I repent of our sin and believe in the gospel, the Bible says that we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Please understand that this is not teaching that you receive the Holy Spirit when you are baptized. Baptism is symbolic. This is teaching that when you truly do repent and believe, that you become a temple of the Spirit of God. His Spirit comes to live inside of you. Paul says in Ephesians 1, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." So Mark chapter 1 reveals the Messiah is here, Jesus Christ, the promised messenger of God, John the Baptist. Next, Mark chapter 1 reveals the beginning of Jesus' ministry, his baptism. The beginning of Jesus' ministry, which is his baptism. Look at verses 9 through 11. "In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.'" You see, Jesus was baptized by John. And please understand that the baptism of Jesus was not for repentance. The baptism of Jesus foreshadowed his death, burial, and resurrection to come. It was the initiation of the start of his ministry. John MacArthur says this, through his baptism, Christ identifies with sinners. He will ultimately bear their sins. His perfect righteousness will be imputed to them. This first public event of his ministry is rich in meaning. It pictures his death and resurrection. It therefore prefigures the significance of Christian baptism. It marks his first public identification with those whose sins he would bear, and it affirms his messiahship publicly by testimony directly from heaven. Listen, as Christ was baptized, you and I too must follow him in baptism after we repent of our sin and believe on him for salvation. You see, baptism is a symbolic act that identifies with Christ. Before Jesus Christ started his ministry to the world, he was baptized. Acts chapter 2 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, this is not teaching that you received the Holy Spirit when you were baptized. Baptism is symbolic. This is teaching that whenever you truly do repent of your sin and place your faith and your trust in Christ for salvation, that the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you, that you are a temple of the Spirit of God. The word baptism here is the Greek word baptizo. It means to immerse, to completely be dipped under the water. It is a symbolic act that identifies us with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is something that we are called to do as Christians. So if you are in this place today, and you have repented of your sin, and you have placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, then you should be baptized. And if you have never been publicly baptized, like Gabby and Thomas were a few moments ago, and you have placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, then come and talk to me about this, because this is something that we are to do as followers of Christ. Listen, the waters this morning are full, and you know what? They're really warm. It feels really good. And if you have placed your faith and your trust in Christ for salvation, and you come to understand that Jesus Christ is the only way to God, and you believe in him for salvation, and you have never been baptized, why not today? I've seen it done before. Why not today? And we'll celebrate alongside you today. You say, well, I don't have an extra change of clothes. Mickey Smith will give you his. Why not today? Jesus was baptized. Verse 12, it says this, the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. This is talking about the wilderness temptation of Jesus Christ, where before he started his ministry, the Spirit of God drove him into the desert where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. The gospel written in Matthew and Luke tell us that every time he was tempted by Satan, that he responded with the truth of Scripture. He responded with the truth of the Word of God. And after the 40 days were up, he came out of the desert ready to start his ministry. Luke chapter 4 says of the wilderness temptation, when he was coming out of that, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. You see, whenever you and I fight temptation by the power of the Spirit with the Word of God, it makes us stronger in the Spirit of God to be used for his purposes. Mark chapter 1 reveals the Messiah is here, the promised messenger of God. It reveals the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. Next, Mark chapter 1 reveals the message of Jesus' ministry. Repent, believe, and follow. The message of Jesus' ministry. Repent, believe, and follow. Church family, if there was a point that you were going to hone in on, it would be this point. If there is a point that maybe you took your pen and you circled 3 or 4 or 10 or 100 million times, it would be this point. The message of the ministry of Jesus: repent, believe, and follow. Let's hone in right here. Verses 14 and 15. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel. Remember, I said earlier that John was arrested. He was arrested for calling out the sin of Herod. Herod didn't like it. They had his head chopped off. After John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This is by far the most central verse in this passage of Scripture. As Jesus is starting his ministry, before he goes on to call his disciples, he says these words that we must consider for our lives today. He says, "Repent and believe in the gospel." Listen, church, we cannot leave repentance out of the gospel message. So many churches today are going away from talking about this very idea that you must turn from your sin. And they're saying things like, all you have to do is just believe and you're going to go to heaven. But the Bible makes it very clear that you must repent of your sin as well. Yes, the gospel means the good news of Jesus Christ, but believing in the gospel message must be accompanied by a repentance of sin. What is repentance? Repentance is the recognition of my sin, the changing of my heart and my mind toward sin, and the turning of my back on sin. Acts 3 says, "Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out." We must understand that repentance and belief in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin goes hand in hand. In salvation, one must repent of their sin and believe in the gospel. That is, you repent of your sin and believe that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross takes away the penalty for your sin. We must repent and believe, not just believe. This past week, in our family, my first cousin's cousin, so it wasn't related to me by blood, but it's my first cousin's cousin, 38 years old, little kid, newly married, passed away. Tragic day for our family, tragic day for my cousin's family. They have the funeral on Thursday. They have the graveside service as well. The graveside where they had the service is right by a major highway. Family's grieving, of course, mourning over the loss of their loved one. Her aunt and uncle are at the service, of course, or at the graveside service. Her aunt and uncle are one of the very first ones to leave the graveside service. They pull out into the highway and are hit by a car. The whole family, still there, sees the entire thing happen. Both of them pass away right there. Horrible, horrible thing. But listen, life is short. Life can be tragic at times. When should you repent of your sin and trust in Christ for the forgiveness of your sin? Today. Now. One saint says, "God has promised forgiveness to your repentance, but he has not promised you tomorrow." A.W. Tozer says, "People on earth hate to hear the word repent. Those in hell wish they could hear it just once more." we must consider these words today, where Jesus says, repent and believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. You see, before you and I can follow Jesus Christ, we must recognize that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And repent of our sin and place our faith in Jesus Christ to be the sacrifice for our sin. So here's a question that we all must consider in this room. Have you truly repented of your sin and placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to be the sacrifice for your sin? This is the start of following Jesus Christ. I'm not asking if you prayed a prayer a long time ago. Oh yeah, I prayed this prayer. I hear that so many times. I prayed that prayer. But listen, the Bible talks nothing of such prayer. It's, have you repented of your sin and turned your back on sin and placed your faith fully in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin? We must heed these words this morning, church. Jesus says, repent and believe in the gospel. Then he says in verse 16, passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Then it says, and whenever they felt like it, they left their nets and followed him. It's not what it says, right? It didn't say whenever it was convenient for them. It doesn't say whenever they don't have, you know, a ball game or something else going on. It says immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired servants, and they followed him. You see, after we truly do repent and believe and trust in Christ for salvation, what is next? We follow Christ. We follow him with our lives. Our lives are no longer ours to do with as we please. We get to follow the Son of God. What a joy. What a privilege. We're now on mission for him in everything that we do. We must repent and believe and follow. That is the message of Jesus Christ. Next, Mark chapter 1 reveals the might of Jesus' ministry, his authority. The might of Jesus' ministry, his authority. Look at verses 21 through 34. We'll read them in their entirety. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. Verse 29, and immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. The teaching of Jesus has authority. Jesus has authority over the demons. Jesus has authority over all sickness. Jesus speaks and demons have to flee. Jesus speaks and sickness is healed. It reminds me of this song called Great I Am. Some of the lyrics say this: Hallelujah, holy, holy, God Almighty, the great I am. Who is worthy? None beside thee. God Almighty, the great I am. The mountains shake before you. The demons run and flee at the mention of the name of the King of Majesty. There is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am. Whatever you're going through this morning, whatever you are facing, do not forget the might of Jesus Christ. Do not forget the authority of Jesus Christ. There is nothing that you are facing, nothing that you are going through, that he cannot speak out of existence. Jesus has all authority over your need, over your sickness, over your struggle with sin, over your addiction, over your sinful habits. Whatever you are facing this morning, listen, Jesus is above it. Jesus has the authority above it. We simply place it into his hands. Jesus, take this away from me. You have the authority above it. You can handle anything. We sang a few minutes ago, how great is our God. If he can speak the world into existence, listen, he can handle whatever you're facing this morning. Next, Mark chapter 1 reveals the mainspring of Jesus' mission. The mainspring of Jesus' mission, which is prayer. I love this. Verse 35, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, Everyone is looking for you. And he said to them, Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. So think about this in context. Try to scan out a little bit and look at this in context. Right in the middle of Jesus proclaiming the gospel, repent, believe, follow. Right in the middle of Jesus calling his disciples who will follow him, who will take his message to the end of the world. Right in the middle of him teaching in the synagogues, healing the sick, casting out demons. What do we find Jesus Christ doing? He's not going, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. Or woe is me, I have so much work to do. Or the work of God is so hard. What's he doing? He's praying, right? The Son of God is praying. We always find Jesus praying. In the midst of his busyness, he makes it a priority to pray. And listen, if the Son of God makes it a priority to pray, how much should you and I make it a priority to pray? Charles Spurgeon says, Look no man in the face till thou hast seen the face of God. Speak thou with none till thou hast had speech with the Most High. May we be a people who pray. May we be a people who pray daily, not just for our needs or for God just to heal our sicknesses, but ultimately a people who are praying for the glory of God. That's what Jesus was praying for. He's praying for the glory of God. May we be a people who pray for the glory of God. God, we pray for your glory in our church. God, we pray for your glory in salvations. God, we pray for your glory to see lives changed by the gospel. God, we pray for your glory in marriages being restored. God, we pray for your glory in holiness, in sin being purged out, in people being added to the body. God, we pray for your glory among the nations around the world of the billions upon billions of people who are lost without you. God, we pray for your glory. May we be a people who pray for the glory of God. If God were to come down this morning and he were to answer every single one of your prayers, whose lives would be changed. If God were to come down and to answer every single one of your prayers today, how would his glory be revealed and ushered in if he answered every single one of your prayers? May we pray for the glory of God. If Jesus prayed constantly, how much more should we? And lastly, Mark chapter 1 reveals the mercy of Jesus' ministry, his compassion. The mercy of Jesus' ministry, his compassion. Verses 40 and following. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." And it says, moved with pity. That word pity, it means compassion. And it says, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. That word touch doesn't mean just to glance or to put a finger on. It means to actually fasten his hand to. It says that Jesus touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. You see, leprosy was one of the worst diseases of the day. It was a chronic, infectious disease characterized by sores and scabs. If you had leprosy, you were isolated from society. If you had leprosy and you were to walk into a public place, you had to yell out these words: unclean, unclean, so that people would know that you are around, so that they would stay away from you because of your disease. Leprosy was a bad thing. Jesus has compassion on this man and his disease. You would never touch a leper. You would never, ever even get close to a leper. And what does Jesus do with this man who has this horrible disease? He reaches out and he touches him. He fastens his hand to him. Jesus has compassion on him. And as Jesus has compassion on this leper, listen, Jesus has compassion on you and I today as well. In our sin, we've messed up, we've made mistakes. Jesus loves you and I right where we are at. He has compassion on us right in the middle of our mess. And knowing that Jesus Christ has compassion on you and I right in the middle of our mess, we in turn as a people should have compassion on everyone else around us. Jesus shows compassion to you and I, we show compassion to the world around us. John says, we love because he first loved us. I'm going to ask right now that you would just bow your heads. I just want you to recognize the fact that the Messiah is here for you today. As we started off this entire message, just sing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that the Messiah is here for you. And he's come for you. He's come for your sin. He's come for your hurts. He's come for your pains. He's come for whatever you have faced in your life. He is here for you today. And I just want you to simply recognize this truth this morning. And if you are facing something today, I'm just going to ask by faith that you would simply give that over to the Son of God who is here in this place for you today, whatever that is. Maybe it's a health struggle. Maybe it's a marital struggle. Maybe it's something that you're concerned about. Whatever it is, could you just by faith place that into the hands of the Son of God this morning? The Messiah is here for you. He is here for you. And also, he is here for you today for your sin. Have you truly repented of your sin and placed your faith in Jesus Christ to be the sacrifice for your sin? He came for you. If you have never repented of your sin and placed your faith in Christ to be the sacrifice for your sin, listen, you can do that right now, this morning, right from where you're at. There's no magical prayer that you pray, you simply say something like this: God, I repent of my sin. And God, I turn my back on my sin. And God, I place my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ to be the sacrifice for my sin. And then you commit your life to follow him the best that you know how. As Jesus called the disciples and they followed him, you commit to follow him this day, from this point on, the best that you know how. If you've never been baptized, in just a moment, come talk to me about this. Maybe you want to be baptized today. Come talk to me about this. We'll make that happen today. Next, you're his messenger. Are you living like a messenger for Christ? Are you representing him as an ambassador? Are you praying like Jesus prayed? Are you showing mercy as Jesus Christ showed mercy? God, we come before your throne and we say thank you for Jesus, the Son of God, that you sent for us in our sin and our mistakes. The next act from God after the failure of the people was the sending of his Son. And God, today we just come before your throne and we say how great is our God and that we worship you for the fact that you sent your one and only Son, the Messiah, for us. So God, help us to be a people who would look inwardly and to say, truly, that we have repented of our sin and turned our back on sin, and that we are committing our lives to follow you, Jesus Christ. Help us to be a people who would pray and depend on you, but God, not to be a people who would just pray for our selfish needs, God, but to be a people who would pray for your glory in the lives of people, oh God. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the example that he gives us that we can follow. We love you, God. Name we pray.